It is indeed a privilege to have missionaries with us this morning. And I hope you feel that. It's not an off Sunday when we have missionaries join us at New Covenant Bible Church. It is a profound privilege. And I pray that you come to see it that way. As I've shared with you many times, I was privileged to have ministry missionaries through my home as I grew up. Not only would they come to church since I was a PK, they would come for lunch afterwards. So I heard from many, many missionaries about their ministries beyond what they were able to share in the service. And so we are delighted to have David and Carol Cosby with us this morning. They have been with OMS, I think you said, for 35 years. So they've been serving with OMS longer than some of you have been alive, is how you should think about that. Good grief. So they're going to come and share both about their ministry. I'm going to let them, they've most recently been in Venezuela, going to Mexico now, and I'll let them fill in the details of that. But Carol's going to come and share some things about the ministry, and then David is going to come and share the word with us.
You are welcome.
Pastor Rob, it's a privilege always to be at New Covenant Church, and I have to tell you, this is like the church I grew up in. And it blesses my heart to see the families here and sitting together and all the teenagers. And I grew up in a church like this. And so from this church, you may have a few missionaries going out. And in that respect, every missionary has a prayer card. And you can see one of our older prayer cards behind me, I hope. Yes. And we have two children. And just a little bit of background, our daughter is married to a wonderful guy. They live in the Washington, D.C. area. He is a wedding photographer right now looking for a full-time job. And she teaches history at a Christian school and absolutely loves it. And we praise God for bringing James into her life. Sharon is sort of Latina in that she grew up in Colombia and Mexico and speaks Spanish. And God brought into her life a wonderful young man whose parents are Cuban. And so she has fit right into their family, and we're praying for the salvation of his entire family. But she brought James to us, wonderful Christian young man. Our son, the redhead Blair, lives in Los Angeles. How did I end up, Pastor Rob, with children on two coasts, 3,000 miles apart? But God has obviously ordained their positions. And Blair is working temp work in the Hollywood industry as he waits for God to open the door for him to direct and produce movies. He believes God has called him to do this, and my parents fast one day a week for this, and he's really active in his church in L.A., and we know God is going to do something and change lives maybe around the world as he's a missionary to the people who have the greatest influence in our entire culture. And so now I just want to show you, don't change the slide yet, our new prayer card has no children on it. So we have come full circle. 35 years ago, our prayer card had no children on it. And you'll find these on a table in the fellowship hall. And I'd love for you to pick one up and pray for us. It goes in your Bible or on your refrigerator. Those are the appointed places for missionary cards. And we would really appreciate your prayers. If anything I say this morning sparks something in your mind and you want more information about our mission agency, OMS, or about any of the ministries that you could be involved in, there's a lot of pamphlets and literature out there that you could take a look at after the service. On this prayer card, on the wall, you'll see that we were in ministry in Mexico. The year was 2000, and we were busy teaching in the seminary, discipling new believers, planting churches, and raising our family. A pastor here in North Georgia began talking to David about the need for a seminary in Venezuela. He explained he'd gone to Venezuela and done an evangelistic campaign. He assumed that the local pastors there would know how to do the follow-up of discipleship. As he talked to pastors who attended the meetings, he found out they didn't have any idea what he was talking about. A little more research showed him there were only two seminaries in the entire country. After prayer and further urging from the Georgia pastor, David finally agreed to go to Venezuela in October 2002 to teach the very first class of the Wesleyan Seminary of Venezuela. A Costa Rican pastor had attended Asbury Theological Seminary with David, and he agreed to go along and teach a course that week as well. Luis and David thought if there were 12 to 15 students there, that would be a really good turnout because the only announcement of the seminary beginning had been word of mouth. Imagine their surprise when over 40 students showed up for class. The response was overwhelming. The students in this class were already pastoring churches without any training. Luis and David said the students were like sponges soaking up everything they had to teach them. All of them wanted to know when the next class would be. And so a modular system of classes were set up. Class was held six times a year for one week, 32 hours of class in each of those weeks. These student pastors are bivocational, and in order to come to class for a week, they miss work and they miss that week of salary. David began going to Venezuela four times a year to teach in 2002. We were able in Mexico City to train people to take over the jobs we had been doing there. And so in August 2006, we moved to Venezuela to give leadership to the establishment of the Wesleyan Seminary of Venezuela. I want to briefly tell you about a couple whose ministry was transformed by attending the seminary and putting into practice what they learned. And I have to tell you, this is just one couple among dozens that I could share with you the change in what Christ is doing in Venezuela and the change in the churches there because of the seminary in Venezuela. In 2007, Alex and Ama were lay leaders in their local church. They were the couple in the pew. She was attending university, and he worked in construction with his dad. They had one little boy. His name is Daniel. The pastor of their church accepted a position in the United States, and the departing pastor asked them to take over the pastoral duties of the church. Alex and Alma really had no idea what to do. She was in the worship band and had a pretty good idea about how to lead that part of the service. But other than that, they didn't really know what they were doing, except that they loved God and wanted to serve him. And so Alex began attending seminary classes. Soon Ama came with him. God touched their heart for the children in their area of the city, which was hidden back in a neighborhood, not on a main road. Though attendance at the church fell off with the departure of the founding pastor, they began to challenge their congregation with the needs that were around them. What they learned in the seminary class about Christian education for children encouraged them to begin holding special events for kids. The church had never had a vacation Bible school. Hard to believe, but they started a VBS in July 2007 and had about 40 kids. They took photos of the children during the week. The kids made a picture frame during their craft time, and on Friday night, the parents had to come to church to collect the picture frame with a picture of their child in it. People in Venezuela are very poor, and most of them do not even have a picture of their child on display in their home. So this was a real treat. When the parents came on Friday night, Alex gave a brief devotional and shared the love of Jesus with the families who were there. A few began coming to church. So in 2008, Alex and Ama and their team prepared invitations, handed them out to invite families to Children's Day. My mom always told me that every day was Children's Day, but there's actually a Children's Day. In Mexico, it is April 30. In Venezuela, it's the third Sunday in July. And so on Children's Day, they had a special kickoff for Vacation Bible School. Games, clowns, lunch, face painting, they gave away treats and candy. Families flocked to this event. This time, they took photos of the whole family, and on Friday night, there was a huge crowd with people standing outside the little house that the church met in. Many parents and children experienced the love of Christ for the first time, and many made decisions to follow him. The church has really grown as a result of this outreach to children, and they've had to move their Sunday service to a rented facility. Because of the church's testimony, the owner of the facility asked them to manage it and gave them a really reduced rate for renting. They're now in negotiations to buy this location, which is on a main street of the city that they live in. The worship team has now split into three teams, rotating the music ministry in the church. One Sunday morning, some gang members showed up at Sunday morning service, intending to disrupt the service. The Holy Spirit prevented them from carrying out their plans, and they left in the middle of the service. One young man returned going forward at the end of the church service to give his heart to Jesus Christ. He told Alex he had brought a gun to church that morning, intending to use it, but took it home and came back to church to give his heart to Christ. He later brought the gun to Alex and gave it to him. Instead of struggling with what to preach on Sunday mornings, at the seminary, Alex has learned the inductive Bible study method, and through his own study of God's Word, he shares with his church every Sunday morning. It was recently brought to Alex and Alma's attention that there is a foster home in their town for 25 children. The church has decided to take this foster home as a project, and these church members, though desperately poor by our standards, help provide clothes, food, and Christ's love to these little ones. Like I said before, Alex and Alma is just one example of the growth taking place in the Venezuelan churches because of the seminary. We're going to continue to minister in the seminary on a part-time basis. David will continue to go and teach classes there a few times a year. And God has provided a missionary couple to go and live in the house we were living in and take over the day-to-day administrative operation of the seminary so that we can go to a new assignment in Mexico. This is equally exciting. I don't know if you remember, we were in Mexico from 1997 until 2005. David and I were involved in church planting. David taught at the Biblical Seminary in Mexico and was also academic dean there. I was director of the School for Missionaries Children, and I served in the treasurer's office. In a little while, David, when he's speaking, is going to tell you some more about our time in Mexico City in the past. I want to tell you about our new assignment. David has just been assigned to be the director of all the OMS ministries in the whole country of Mexico. This includes the Biblical Seminary of Mexico, evangelism teams, house churches, church planting, teaching English as a second language, and the ministry to street kids. In addition, he will teach in the seminary. I'm going back into my ministry in the treasurer's office, and we'll be both of us will again be involved in church planting. On our last day in Mexico City in 2005, we celebrated the dedication of the new seminary building. This is a multi-purpose building. On Sundays, the church uses the classrooms for Sunday school and the parking garage that's on the ground level. Evangelism teams and those leading house churches come to this building for training every Tuesday. The top floor has a guest apartment and four guest rooms for visiting professors and teams who come from the States and Great Britain to volunteer and work in the churches. The evangelism director and our national church offices are located in this building, as well as David's office and the treasurer's office. Around the world, OMS uses whatever felt need there is as a form of evangelism. In Japan, this means they hold cooking classes. Japanese want to learn how to cook American style. In Haiti, the need is medical clinics. And so OMS operates medical clinics in Haiti. In Mexico, it is the chance to learn English. People in Mexico, if they have the English language, can get a better job or enhance their job performance. Later on, David's going to tell you about a dentist in Mexico City who wanted to learn English and how God used that in her life. One of our missionaries, Margaret, directs the TESOL program, and English classes are taught in the churches a couple of nights a week. At the house churches, English classes are usually taught before the church service and the worship time begins. Okay, raise your hand if you speak English. All right, you can be a missionary. We desperately need English teachers in Mexico City. OMS has a program already in place for you to come and teach English for a period of time as 1 week to 364 days. Margaret directs the program, and you can go to the mission field as a missionary and teach English. Just that little plug, and there's information on the table. Okay. Right now, there are 12 established churches with OMS in Mexico, and in addition, there are over 55 house churches. These churches are doing evangelism and discipling their members. One of the catchphrases at the house churches is every member in ministry. Pretty good, huh? Churches need pastors to teach and shepherd the flock. And you already have heard me talk about the Biblical Seminary in Mexico, where we were heavily involved. Later on, David is going to tell you about Benito, the young man that's the academic dean there now. David is also going to teach a couple of courses at the seminary when we go back to Mexico City. The newest ministry in OMS in Mexico City is a ministry to street children. Street children in Mexico City come in all ages. The government has a program for orphans, and there is schooling available for them and a place for them to live and be fed until they're 12 years old. After that, they're on their own. Most of the young people we minister to on the streets are 12 years old and up. The oldest person that we will accept in this program would be 25 years of age. Yesterday afternoon, we talked to the missionary that's in charge of this program, and he said they now have 5 toddlers born to teenage mothers who are living on the street. And so the program continues to expand. Some sleep in makeshift tents. Most all of these young people are using drugs to deaden the emotional pain of their lives and the physical hunger that they usually feel. This ministry began with a missionary couple and a Mexican couple going to the streets, chatting with the young people, sharing food, getting a cup of coffee. A group in Great Britain took up this ministry and raised the funds to buy a building to use as what we call a drop-in center. It took a lot of looking to find the right location and then a lot of work to get it usable. Lots of volunteer teams from the U.S. and England came to remodel and paint. The center now houses a commercial-sized kitchen to prepare meals for the street kids, as well as laundry facilities, showers, a large meeting room, smaller rooms for classes, and offices for the staff and counseling. Each day, the center opens for street kids to come in and get a hot breakfast. The breakfast and afternoon meals are prepared by a man whose nickname is Memo. Memo's the brother of one of the center leaders who lost his eyesight to diabetes. He is, however, a trained cook and is able to minister with Jackie helping him. He prepares breakfast, which is followed by an evangelistic meeting and Bible study led by one of the center leaders. The young people are encouraged to come regularly, and they respond positively to what they hear. They can also attend a class to learn a skill. Alex and Patty are teaching them to make something that they can sell. A privilege they can earn by coming regularly is to wash their clothes. The kids can't just drop in anytime they want, but they're encouraged to participate in the entire program. For those who are addicted to drugs and want to come out of this lifestyle that they have on the street, arrangements can be made for them to go to a drug rehab center that is out of the city and away from the culture that they have around them. As I said yesterday, David and I talked to the missionary in charge of this ministry, and he told us that there were now 6 teens from this ministry in the drug rehab center and coming out of this drug lifestyle and making plans for a new life for themselves. The young people are expected to help clean and maintain the center. Patty and Juanita have to give them directions on how to do this, since most of them have never had a floor that they even had to mop or a bathroom that they were ever responsible for cleaning. The ministry at the drop-in center is a process, and the young people have responded to God's word and Christ's love. Several have declared that they want to trust Christ as Savior, and so after several weeks of discipleship and instruction, some have followed Christ in baptism. 2 of the young men that were baptized in these slides are some of the 6 that are at the drug rehab center now. The center is also home on Thursday nights to a church planting effort. The young people from the streets are invited to attend and experience a church service. The members are reaching out to those around them who are in desperate need. Homeless children number in the tens of thousands in Mexico City, and they're not all found in one location. And so in the area of the city called La Loma, a ministry to street children was begun there. The church plant in La Loma started in 1999, and at the outset, the missionary who started the church wanted the members to see the needs and reach out to their community. This church, too, is located in a desperately poor part of the city. Some of the people who attend live at the edge of one of the largest city dumps. In 2002, one of the Eagle Scout projects in a Boy Scout troop in Mexico City provided the equipment to begin a feeding program at the La Loma Church. This church, through volunteers, is feeding a hot breakfast to dozens of homeless children in this area and sharing the love of Christ with them. I've told you about a lot of ministries, and all these ministries need missionaries, and so God is providing. In September, just this past September, 2 new missionary families arrived in Mexico. Brenda and Leslie and their 2 kids are planting churches in the southern part of Mexico City, near what is left of the original lake that Mexico City was founded on. Steve and Helen and their little girl and baby number 2, who's scheduled to arrive in 6 weeks, are part of the team at the drop-in center for street children. Both of these couples are from Great Britain. There are now four additional missionary families in the pipeline from Mexico City. Three of are from the U.S. and one is from England. Right now, we've got one family in Costa Rica studying Spanish, and the others are still raising their funds, hoping to come soon to minister with us in Mexico City. So when everyone gets there, we'll have 16 adult missionaries and 14 children working with us in Mexico City. We're asking God for His direction as we assist all of these families in their adjustment to life in a city of over 25 million. Now, you realize that's the population of almost the entire Southeast, put into a square mile area about the size of Fulton County. 25 million people in a geographic area the size of Fulton County. Please pray for us as we minister to Mexicans and to missionaries. Missionaries need some looking after, especially those new ones who are making the adjustment to life on the mission field. We're excited about what God is doing in Mexico, and we're excited about what the Holy Spirit is going to do through these missionaries as they arrive in Mexico City and as they minister in Mexico City. David's going to come and share with you now.
Morning. Tremendous privilege to be here with you this morning. I want to thank you for the, for over 12, 15 years that you here at New Covenant have been praying for and supporting Carol and I in our ministry. We've greatly appreciate all that you've done for us, and your prayers have made a tremendous difference in the lives of men and women and in various countries around the world as we go as part of your team to reach the people of those countries. If you will open your Bibles with me to Psalm 72. Read verse 12. Psalm 72, verse 12. For he would deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. One more time. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. This psalm is a messianic psalm. A little study of the psalm shows that the prayer is a prayer for the king of Israel, but here the king represents the future coming Messiah. The key theme is how the Messiah will treat the poor and the needy. The king, the Messiah, will bring justice to the poor, and he will save the children of the needy. Their salvation will be brought about by the breaking of the oppressor into pieces. Thus, a special work of the King, the Messiah, is to care for the poor and needy, since no one else will. The rich exploit them and abuse them and forget about them, as says James 5:1-4. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you, and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. The Messiah, however, will lift up the burdens of the poor and needy. Isaiah prophesies of him, saying in 6:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to teach good tidings to the poor. When the Messiah comes in the person of Jesus Christ in Luke 4:18-19, Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, enters the synagogue in Nazareth, takes the scroll of Isaiah the prophet and reads, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the Lord's good favor. Those who oppress them also will ultimately be destroyed." This promise is fulfilled both as Jesus subjects the nations to his rule in Revelation 19:15, and as he defeats Satan who enslaves them in Revelation 20:10. It is important to remember that in his earthly ministry, Jesus spent a great deal of his energy healing and liberating the poor. He indeed is the righteous King. Jesus came to defeat Satan and to set free those he had imprisoned, oppressed, and enslaved. He sent out 72 of his disciples to preach the good news in the towns of Israel. When they returned to him, Jesus said to them in Luke 10:18-20, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that your spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. So we also, if we are to be like our Lord and Savior, we must hear the cry of the needy. In January of last year, 2010, this was brought home to us as we sat in our homes and watched in horror the tragic that unfolded after the earthquake in Haiti. We as followers of Christ are being conformed to His image. We are to take on His heart and His mind. We are to have His values and His priorities. As God cares for the lost and the needy of the whole world, we too hear the cry of those millions around the world who are lost and perishing without a knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as the coming Messiah who has come and coming again to set all things aright. Listen, can you hear their cry? From 2005 until 2010, Carol and I responded to the cry of those in Venezuela. We ministered in Barquisimeto, Venezuela, at the Wesleyan Seminary of Venezuela. Though I only announced by word of mouth, the first class had 43 students attending from all parts of the country. There are only two other seminaries in the entire country, but our seminary is affordable and does not require a university degree to attend. The 4 years of seminary classes, the first 4 years of seminary classes, we rented a room until in 2008 we were able to buy our own facility and have our own campus. Now two groups of students have graduated. These prepared pastors are leading growing churches, discipling believers, opening new church plants. Their churches are feeding the needy, providing child care, building an orphanage, providing medical care, showing Jesus' love in tangible ways to the needy around them, seeing the sick healed by the power of God, and seeing those enslaved by sin being set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. When in ministry, we are always looking for those who we can train to take our place because we want to work ourselves out of a job. In Venezuela, Wilmer, RA in ministry as a pastor when he began attending seminary classes, got really excited about studying God's Word when he took the course on inductive Bible study. He took the same class 3 times to be sure he understood it, and then asked me if he could begin teaching it in his own church. Today he is the professor of inductive Bible study at our seminary in Venezuela. Carlos and Maria were a professional couple. He is an engineer and she was a pediatrician when God called them into ministry. They were the first in the first group that graduated from our seminary. God has blessed their faithfulness, and their church has grown from 50 to over 700, one of the fastest growing churches we've ever been involved with. There are now 6 daughter churches that they have planted, including one in Chinese, and because in Barquisimeto there's a big community of Chinese from Red China, and they come to do sell and be in trade there. So Carlos preaches in Spanish and has a man that translates for him, and they're seeing people from Red China come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God has provided them a piece of property in a needy area where, with the help of North American churches, they are building a medical clinic where Maria will minister to physical needs while the patients also have that chance to hear about Jesus' love for them. Carlos and Maria are now teaching classes also in the seminary. When one mission society asked us to return to Mexico in a leadership capacity in God's perfect timing, he provided another missionary couple to come and take our place as academic dean and treasurer at the Wesleyan Seminary in Barquisimeto. We have heard the cry of those in Mexico and are returning to minister there. Since July 1st, I have been the field leader of One Mission Society Ministries in Mexico. Our ministry in Mexico the next 4 years will be similar to our previous assignment there, in that Carol will be the treasurer and I will teach at the Biblical Seminary of Mexico and give leadership to the different ministries. It will be a privilege to work alongside many that we helped train there in our last time that we were there. Several of them are now in leadership roles. I want to introduce one of those couples to you. His name is Alexis Salcedo. He was one of my students at the Biblical Seminary of Mexico when we were there before. Since graduating from seminary, he has served as an associate pastor of a church we planted in Mexico City, and then senior pastor of that church. He is now the director of One Mission Evangelism Teams and has helped plant over 55 house churches throughout the country. He came to the Lord through the ministry of one of our churches and was called by God into ministry. Here's what he had to say in his testimony. When I was 17 years old and in high school, I felt sad and empty and was without a clear purpose in my life. One time I went out to a Christian church and heard the gospel the very first time. I learned to love Jesus, and he began to fill my heart. I began to go to church. Some months later, I went to a Christian camp and enjoyed it a lot. At that time, I gave my life and all my heart to Jesus. Since that time, my heart was filled with his presence and understand that he has a good purpose for my life. I began to learn how to study the Bible and serve in the church. I like this very much and enjoy it. Being invited to study at the seminary confirmed the Lord's call for me to serve him. I like to preach Christ to the people, and I like to explain how he transformed my life and how he can transform their lives. I believe that our country needs to hear this living message of God's word. In spite of being a very religious country, there is no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to dedicate my time to proclaiming the word and teaching new believers. I have a vision to help build churches in all of my country. Listen, can you hear their cry? When Carol began working as the OMS field treasurer in 1990, Benito was on the office staff at the OMS headquarters there in Mexico City. His constant questions to her about what he was reading in the Bible led me to invite him to attend a seminary class. We worked out his schedule so that he could continue work and get a paycheck, but also to attend seminary classes. Benito graduated from the Biblical Seminary of Mexico and took the position of leader of one of the evangelism church planting teams. Soon I asked him to come back to the seminary and teach a class. His skills are obvious in teaching, and he took more and more responsibilities to teach at the seminary. Benito now is academic dean of the Biblical Seminary of Mexico. Since I will teach some classes at the Biblical Seminary when we go back, Benito now will be my boss. Here's part of Benito's testimony. While growing up, I only went to church when there was a party. When I moved to the city, I met some missionaries who invited me to take a trip with them. During that trip, I heard the gospel for the first time and accepted Christ into my heart. Truly, it has been a great blessing from that day until now because of the new way I have of seeing life. I have a new way of perceiving other people who don't know the Lord. They have an enormous vacuum in their lives. It is only through Jesus Christ that I can have this great joy in my heart. Studying at the seminary was a wonderful period in my life. I was able to learn and then to share the gospel of Christ with many people. I learned to see life's problems from God's perspective. I am thankful for God that he has blessed the seminary, and it is my prayer that through this seminary, many people will come to know the gospel and that they can have a personal relationship with Christ. what a privilege it is to be going back to Mexico to work with these two men, Alexis and Benito, as we together share Christ with the people of Mexico. In addition to evangelism, church planting, and training pastors and leaders, a new ministry in Mexico City began while we were away from the country. Hearing the cry of the street children in Mexico, OMS now has an outreach program in two different areas of Mexico City. In addition, in 2009, Action International Ministries announced that there were 240,000 abandoned children living on the streets of Mexico City. Listen, can you hear their cry? In La Loma area, one of our established churches has begun a feeding program for street children. This includes a presentation of Christ's love. There is no money to provide for a full-time director of this program, and it is run by volunteers from this church, and that is itself made up of people from the lowest economic level of society, living on the edge of a garbage dump. In La Raza, a building has been purchased through donations from Great Britain, and Alex and Patty are full-time directors of this program. Children are welcome to come during the morning hours, eat a hot breakfast, hear a presentation of Christ's love, take a shower, and then in the afternoon learn a trade skill. Patty's brother is a trained cook who lost his sight because of diabetes. Can you imagine cooking without being able to see? But he ministers to these children even though he's blind. A missionary couple from England has just arrived to work alongside Alex and Patty. With so many children in need, they are always something that has to be done. Dr. Carmen, another one of our seminary students who later became a medical doctor, now assisted the church plant at La Loma and is now giving one day a week at the drop-in center to meet the medical needs of the children there. Listen, can you hear their cry? Graciela is a dentist who wanted to learn English so she could read the medical journals. Seeing a flyer on a telephone pole in her neighborhood offering English classes, she went, and to her surprise, the classes were taught at a church. After several classes, she asked her teacher why he was there. He and Graciela became friends, and she wanted to know more about his Christian faith. He introduced her to me. The Lord gave me favor in Graciela's eyes, and so we became friends, and I invited her to a Sunday school class that I was teaching at our church on the panorama of the Bible. She'd come and attend the class, but wouldn't stay for church. After 6 weeks of attending the Sunday school class, I invited Graciela to a basic discipleship class at the seminary. The first 2 weeks of the class are designed to present the gospel. After the second week, Graciela prayed to receive Christ. Then 2 weeks later, she came to me and told me that the night before, she had called the elders of the Mormon church that she had been attending, and I had no idea that she was a Mormon, had been a Mormon. She said that she called the elders to her home, told them that she had met the true and living God, that her life was completely changed, and that she would not be coming back to the Mormon church. That evening, she gave back all the literature to the Mormon elders. A few weeks later, Graciela was baptized. Her children have found Christ as Savior as well and have been baptized. Since then, I have had the privilege of leading her mother and her brother to the Lord. They all faithfully attend the church we planted in Mexico City. Graciela heard about the ministry to the street children going on at La Raza. She is now in ministry one afternoon a week, taking care of the dental needs of the children at the drop-in center. Graciela's testimony is a great example of the way all the ministries in Mexico City, from evangelism, teaching English as evangelism, to the seminary, and the planting churches and the drop-in center, work together to bring people in Mexico City to Christ. Listen, can you hear their cry? Patty is a member of one of our churches in Mexico City, and the registrar at the seminary. Patty shares how the church and Christ have impacted her life and why she thinks the ministry of the seminary is so important. She says, "I work in the seminary. I came to know the Lord approximately 12 years ago. There has been a radical change in my life. Before, I suffered from insomnia, from many depressing ideas, and my life was hard and agonizing. Now the Lord has changed me and brought relief to my life. He has given me a desire to live and a great joy in living. He has given me peace and harmony in my heart. I am happy to proclaim this good news to other people. I have been working for the seminary for 3 years. I am also a member of the church. The seminary is important to us because through it, we train not only pastors, but also lay people who are interested in being trained to minister and to disciple others. Through that, we help our churches grow. Listen, can you hear their cry? Benito, Wilmer, Carlos, Maria, Patty, and others have learned that God transforms lives and relationships. Benito finishes his testimony like this. More than any other class at the seminary, the classes on holiness had the most impact on my life. The fact that we are to be holy as He is holy really impacted my life. What people want to see is a transformed life, not pretty words. This has challenged me, my life, during these 3 years at the seminary. Thank God that with His help I am growing. There have been challenges and problems, but as the Word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Listen, can you hear their cry? What will you do? First of all, you can pray. Pray for Mexico and pray that God will continue to raise up laborers into the harvest, both missionaries and Mexicans into the harvest of winning that great nation for Christ. You can pray for become part of our mailing list. There's a sign-up sheet on the table back here. You'll receive our bi-monthly prayer letter, and you can pray for specific needs in Mexico. You can give. You can give of your time, your talents, and your finances to be a part of what God's doing in Mexico and around the world. And you can go. Pastor shared this morning how 7 or 8 of you have gone to India and that you go to Guatemala every year. Praise God for that. Some of you may be actually called into full-time Christian service to go overseas or minister here in the United States. You can give your life totally to Christ. Give not just of your time and your energy, but yourself. Give yourself to the Lord to allow Him to do whatever He wants to do in your life. A family that constantly bothered by a leaky roof. Every time it rained, they'd have to put out pots and their roof because their roof leaked. Finally, they were able to save up enough money and decided that, well, we'll have this roof fixed and we'll go visit Grandma for 2 weeks and we'll contract a carpenter and he'll come in and he'll patch the roof or maybe even put on a new roof, but he'll take care of the roof because he'll know what to do. So they contracted the carpenter, told him about the roof, gave him the job. He gave them a list of what it would cost to fix the roof. They went off on vacation to see Grandma, and expecting when they got back to have a new roof on their home. When they came back after 2 weeks, they were met by the smiling carpenter with a great smile on his face, and he said, come in, I want to show you all that I did. We put new carpet down this floor because it looked a little worn in places, so we installed new carpet. And you know how the paint on some of your walls were fading, so we painted the walls. And look how this ceiling over here had been damaged by the water, and I fixed that ceiling. And we found out that one of your faucets in the back of the house, there was no water coming out when you turned on the faucet, and we fixed that too. And the homeowner said, well, that's all good. What about the leaky roof? And the carpenter said, oh, we hadn't gotten to that yet. The Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' last words to his disciples were, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus' last words. He's given us one task, disciple the world. Are we painting floors? Are we putting new carpet down? What will his response be to us when we see him? Like the family going on vacation that left the carpenter with a clear outlined task, Jesus, when returning to his heavenly Father, left his disciples, that is, you and me, one clear defined occupation to guide and direct their ministry to the lost and needy of the world. The carpenter didn't get the job done because he got sidetracked by other good things. Will you also miss out on doing the main thing by doing other good things? Listen, can you hear their cry? Go and make disciples of all nations. Pastor Rob.
Good challenge.
Thank you. Joy to be here.
And we praise God. This is your water, by the way. You sound like you might need it. We praise the Lord for the fruit that He is bearing through David and Carol. And if you have ever put money in the offering plate at New Covenant Bible Church, you have participated in their ministry. How can we? When are you going to Mexico?
The end of August.
Okay.
It's a target.
Are you fundraising? Do you still?
Yes, we're in the process of raising funds.
Okay. How much percentage-wise do you know?
We're about 50%.
Okay.
We need about $1,000 a month more.
So we can pray for fundraising. We can pray for fruit in Mexico. Amen. Anything else?
Pray for it. At our age, a lot of those that started supporting us when we first went out, God's graduated them to glory.
Right.
And
So
we need
new supporters.
New supporters.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And very young ones.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let's join me as we pray for David and Carol. Father God, thank you for the privilege that you give us for what the Apostle Paul calls partnership in the gospel. And I'm so grateful for David and Carol and for their faithful ministry in South America, in Mexico, in Venezuela. Father, thank you for their faithfulness and how you have used them in your word to bear fruit, to draw people to Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to do this, that as they return to Mexico, you would help David in his new job as he oversees all these ministries. Carol, as she returns to the office there, strengthen them. Lord, I pray that you would bear further fruit, that through their ministries, men and women would hear the good news about Jesus as their Lord and Savior and come to trust him. Father, would you please provide the support they need? Would you please raise up young supporters who can support David and Carol for years upon years? Lord, would you provide the remaining 50% of their funds, of their support that they need as well, Lord? Would you strengthen and encourage them by their time with us today? Would you be with them as they prepare to leave in August, Lord, that you would help them in every way to be prepared to return to Mexico City, Father. We thank you for them. We thank you again for the privilege to participate in their ministry. We pray you'd bless them. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I encourage you, before you leave, if you can, to come greet them. Their table is in the fellowship hall. Shake their hand and just say a kind word of greeting to them and get to know them briefly. And you're dismissed. Thank you.